Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Welcome to another episode of 3GT. That's three guys theologizing. And my regular conversational companions are Aaron Sams and Kyle Borg. I'm glad you guys are with me today because I have a question I want to raise to you. One of the things that I'm often confronted with is how busy my schedule is. People sometimes will say that to me, you seem to be very busy, which I often respond to by saying, well, we're all busy because everyone I know seems to have a pretty full schedule. And so one of the questions I had for you is, how do you say no? You get asked to do something that's good, that's kingdom-oriented even, that you would like to do. But how do you decide whether you should do it or not? Or maybe even more importantly, when do you just say no to it? Of course, just saying no was a slogan for the anti-drug trade. I think I was back in the Reagan years. I don't know. I don't think it did a very good job. So just saying no isn't really what
it worked for me, Barry. It worked for me.
So I'm not so sure that's... It's just that simple, just to say no. How do you guys go about evaluating things and particularly arriving to decisions where you're saying no to requests that have been made upon your time?
Well, I don't say no. I say yes to everything. and I say that jokingly, but that's actually kind of my disposition. I hear something. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. And I am horrible at saying yes to something that I might not actually be interested in. But in the back of my head, it's like, you have the capacity to fulfill that request. You should say yes. And so I do. And then I look at my calendar and I look at my schedule and I go, what in the world was I thinking when I said yes to this? And the worst ones are when it's like 6 months out and you're like, oh yeah, sounds great. You don't think about it. And then it sneaks up on you. And 2 weeks before you go, oh, and this happened to me just last week. I was supposed to present at the Pennsylvania Science Teachers Association conference. And I'd never gone there before. And I submitted a proposal back in, I think, July. And in July, I'm like, oh, yeah, it'll be great. You know, it's November, week before Thanksgiving. I mean, what could be going on? So then last week rolls around. I'm in the middle of my own coursework. I'm in the middle of teaching all my classes. Thanksgiving's right around, you know, it had just passed. And I'm thinking, oh, what in the world was I thinking? Like, this is the stupidest time for me to be leaving for a couple of days. It's only over in Penn State. It's only 2.5 hours away from my house. But the whole time I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is dumb. And I finally got there and I had a great time and I learned a lot at the conference. But my inability to say no once again came up and it just kind of reared its ugly head a couple of days before I had to go do something. And I just piled up in my calendar, in my schedule with things that are fine. They're good things to do, but might not be what I need to be doing. So all of that to say, I am the worst offender at this. So anything that we talk about that helps me learn to say no during this episode, I hope it carries over to others who are like me.
So you're a confessing yes addict.
I am.
So, wow.
My name is Aaron, and I don't know how to say no.
Kyle, do you have any help to offer?
No.
In fact, with that, he just hit stop on his recording button, and that's the last we're going to hear from him for the rest of the episode.
He was waiting a while for that one.
I think so. Yes. I don't have much help. This is going to be a fun conversation because I tend to have an extremely hard time saying no. And the reason for me, as I've examined my own heart, is largely out of a desire to be a people pleaser. It is extremely difficult for me to tell somebody no because I feel like I'm going to let them down or I'm going to disappoint them. And that's something, right? That's just born out of a fear of man, if I'm going to be very brutally honest with myself. But I'm very much in the same boat as you guys. I also find it hard to say no there are things that I'm not particularly good at, but I enjoy doing. And it's hard to step back and take a breath and say no to that. Maybe we can get more into how that's done. I think one of the things that motivates me as a pastor, and pastors get asked to do all kinds of things, whether it's from the local congregation or a presbytery level or a synod level, pastors are asked to serve on boards and committees. By and large, I've tried to operate under some personal rules, both for the congregation and in the broader church. But you guys, I'm in the same boat. I have a very hard time saying no to people.
So, Kyle, you said there's some personal rules that you abide by. Mm-hmm. I'd be kind of interesting to know a little bit more about those. Are those things that could be more, applicable to people in other fields? Or are those just simply your personal ones in your particular line of duty?
I don't know if they're going to be overly helpful, but I can run through them quick. I remember one of the best pieces of advice I ever got in my life was to be acutely aware of my sphere of responsibilities. And within my sphere of responsibilities, to be very aware of the priority of those spheres. And so obviously the nurturing of my own soul comes first. That sounds selfish, but that's a biblical ethic. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to be concerned about ourselves spiritually and those things. And of course, extremely closely united to that is my wife and my family. And so those are things that have a priority. But when it comes to things outside of the family and marriage, my spheres of responsibility in descending order would begin with my local congregation. Secondly, my presbytery, and thirdly, the broader church in the RPCNA, the synod. And within the congregation, I have always, one of the things I've tried to do since taking up the ministry is to tell my congregation that everything that I do, I want to be for the benefit of my local congregation. That first and foremost, when it comes to the vocation I have, the calling that I have, first and foremost, they are my chief concern in that regard. And that has helped hedge me in some ways to be able to say no when I get offers or opportunities like XYZ, to really think about it and say, well, in what way is that going to benefit my immediate sphere of responsibility where I am with the church? But I also know that as a pastor, you have broader responsibilities than just the local church. That's the primary one. Personally, for myself, I, at a presbytery level, I allow myself to be on two committees. And at a synod level, I really allow myself to be on one board or committee. And I do that for various reasons, and I try to stick to that closely for various reasons. Partly because it gives me a standard, so I'm more encouraged to tell people no, and instead of being scared of disappointing them, I say, look, this is just my guideline, this is my rule. But I also, sometimes, I think it's fair to say that many of us have a hard time saying no because we're very full of ourselves. And we think, I can do the job better than everybody else, and I need to have my hands involved in every little thing. And that's a real temptation in my heart, to think, well, I could do that better than this person or that person. And to guard against that temptation, I've also limited myself to where I guess I'm willing to serve, when I can say yes, when I can say no, in order to really guard against self-inflation. So is that applicable to everybody? Maybe thinking through spheres of responsibility is applicable to everybody. I don't know. I don't know.
I think what you were just saying there too at the end is really important. Our life calling is, if anyone wishes to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So in one sense, every day of our Christian life is saying no. We recognize that, I think, more easily when it's identifiable sins, that obviously we can't be sinning, and so we say no to the sin. But the more subtle forms of sin, which I think you've alluded to, whether it's doing something to please someone else or to build my reputation or whatever it may be, and I'm letting that drive my heart toward doing more and more and more of something, I think that's when we have to be really, really careful and say no and deny ourselves, because that's such an important part of following Christ, as being one who walks in righteousness and holiness, and being more concerned about our character rather than our what people are thinking about us, as you said earlier, Kyle, walking in the fear of man. I think another thing or two you're just making me think about is how important it is to delegate. You said something, or was that you, Aaron, that said maybe thinking that you have to do everything, but learning that there could be other people around us that can do something for us and even better than we can, and not letting pride keep us from doing that. I think that's one way to say no. And one other thing I was just thinking about is I was having a discussion with a group of guys here recently about discipleship and being available to people, but sometimes feeling like our lives are so full, it's hard to just have time for other people. And we've kind of batten around the idea of how white space sells in advertising. So if you have a billboard or a magazine ad, you don't fill it completely full with print, or people really won't be drawn to it, but you have white space around. There's room there that draws your eye in. And I think in some ways, we as Christians need to make sure that we're not running around so much and involved in so many activities that we don't have room in our life for our family or people that we're trying to reach for the sake of the gospel. So I think that's part of another reason to say no. If, like you were saying, Kyle, if I'm so busy with, you know, saving the world somewhere else, but I'm not really there for my own family or for the people nearest to me, then I think something's wrong in that scenario, and we need to really reevaluate our lives.
Yeah, you know, Barry, you're talking about white space and just kind of keeping some room in your schedule for you know, family, for important things, even for hobbies or for just time alone and time and for quiet. You know, I kind of look at a blank space on my schedule, and I see it as a place where I could put another meeting or put another appointment or another teleconference or phone call or whatever it happens to be. But I've heard of people like literally blocking out time on their calendar simply for quiet and not reading and to just not have meetings and not to do anything, but just to have some space in their schedule that they simply don't fill. You know, call it what you want, call it sacred time, call it, you know, alone time or whatever, but just actually putting it on your calendar. No meetings here. This is the time I'm going to block out and keep just for myself, for my own, you know, space in my own mind, for my own time for me and to read, or for my own time for prayer and reflection and reading the Bible, whatever it happens to be, just blocking it out and actually putting it on your calendar so you don't inadvertently fill it. Because those of us who chronically say yes, if it's not blocked out, we will put something on that time.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Some other principles that come to mind in this regard? How to say no?
Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, to bring this to biblical principles as well, you know, the Bible promotes a strong work ethic from the commandments of you don't work, you don't eat in Thessalonians, to have nothing to do with the idle brother, to the Sabbath commandment, which is 6 days you shall do all your work and labor. But so I think the Bible has a very strong work ethic where we are to fill our lives with productivity and doing things and doing many things. But at the same time, right, we're taught in the Psalms to sing about the glory of sleep. I remember when that first struck me, that the Lord asks his church to sing about the blessing of sleep, right? In Psalm 127, verse 2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. In talking about these principles and pragmatic and helpful things, I don't want to lose the emphasis that the Bible even recognizes that there is this thing called downtime, that we are not immortal. We're not Superman. We're not superheroes that can go out and save the world. And the psalmist actually says, not only does the Lord give his beloved sleep, but it is in vain to rise up early and go late to rest while eating the bread of anxious toil. And so there is a biblical principle here to motivate us to learn to say no. Because when we don't, when we always have to say yes, there's also this reliance upon the works of my hands, forgetting that it's the Lord is the one who sustains us, from giving us our daily bread to the one who gives his beloved sleep. And so that's a principle I try to keep in mind too, is I don't need to always feel guilty about saying no, because the Bible, I think, actually encourages me to in points.
In his book Reset, David Murray's, you know, he's talking about a grace-paced life and a burnout culture. He really emphasizes the importance of sleep, like you have. And he says in there that it's basically when we're sleeping during those hours, it's a way to remind ourselves that God really doesn't need us that much. That's one part of it. And I think that's sometimes we think that we have to be the ones doing all of these things. And to realize, no, God says that almost a third of your life is to be just lying prone, ignorant of what's going on around you in the world. And I think when we look at our Lord's life and we see he was a very busy man, so we're not talking about not being busy, but we are talking about those times where we need to be saying no in order to, in a sense, accomplish other things, whether it's, as you men are alluding to, just restoring ourselves. There are times where when I've had a really full schedule, I do feel like just an empty well. And if I have to meet with one more person or, you know, answer one more email or talk to, give one more talk or whatever it may be, I just don't have it in me. And so to have those times of rest built into our schedule, I think is important. For pastors, it can be easy to not have a Sabbath day. And so I think just kind of going on with that rest idea is, if we're putting in our time on the Lord's day and it's a busy day, then we need to make sure that at other days, a lot of ministers use either Monday or Saturday, that we're getting enough rest so that we can really give ourselves then more fully to people. And that's not being weak, that's being wise. And we see our Lord Jesus many times, Mark 1:35 says that while it was still dark, he went out to a lonely place and he was praying there. And I think he was asking the Lord there for the energy and strength and the wisdom that he would need in order to accomplish all that he was doing. That text says he had been up late at night ministering to many, but he still realized that one of the ways that he was going to be able to say no is by praying and getting his heart right before God. Because one of the things we see about the Lord is he didn't go to every city. He didn't heal every leper or every person. He did many, but there were certainly divine appointments that he had, a directed life that he was living, where he was walking with the Father and going where the Father wanted him to go. And I think that's possible for us if we're communing with God and in his word. As it says in Ephesians 2:10, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the Lord has the work that he wants us to be doing. It was prepared before the world was made. And as we seek him and seek his will, he can help us to know how to walk in them. And again, that's an art, and I don't live often enough that way, but when you are walking with the Lord and really thinking through your schedule and putting it before him, and you think about all the responsibilities he's given you, you know, for a preacher, it can be really tempting to think that the church is your bride rather than Christ's bride, and you have your bride that you need to be taken care of, and you get those priorities straight in your mind and your heart again, then it's easier, I find, to say no even to good things.
Barry, you know, you mentioned, you know, Jesus took time small bits of time for solitude and for prayer and for reflection. But he also spent 40 days by himself in the desert as well. So he had extended periods of time that he spent by himself in, you know, preparing for something important. And so I was listening to a podcast recently this week, and this topic of saying no came up. And one of the things that one of the people mentioned was that there are times when you just need to simply have policies in place. And Kyle, you alluded to this with your own professional life and personal life, that you have policies in place where there are things you say yes to and things you say no to. And one of the things mentioned was, you know, this particular guy was asking people to be interviewed for a book he was working on. And some people that he asked said, no, I'm currently on a no, I have a no meeting diet. Like, I'm going on a no meeting diet or a no teleconference diet, or I'm saying no to everything that doesn't fit into this very, very narrow category so I can focus on these other really important things. It's not that I don't want to be a part. And you know, then some of the responses he got was, you know, I'll be kicking myself later for not participating in it, but I'm going to have to say no right now because I'm currently saying no to everything that doesn't fall into these particular categories. And there's times when we have to do that, where we have to simply focus on particular work that's been given to us, things that fall into our own purview, and things that fall outside of that might be great in and of themselves, but don't fit with what our particular calling is at a particular time. And we absolutely have to say no. So while I'm talking about this particular podcast I was listening to, one of the other things that came up was, like, how do you actually prioritize? How do you figure out what to say yes to and what to say no to? And one of the techniques suggested by one of the people on this show was rating something that is presented to you. If somebody asks you to do something, rate it in your mind on a scale of 1 to 10, and you can't choose 7. So what that does, you know, if think about it, like, in terms of a letter grade in school, a 6, that's a 60%. That's basically a D minus. So you're probably going to say no to a D minus, right? But an 8, that's a B. That's a solid score, you know? So 8 and up says, hey, you know, this might be something worth investing my time in. But a 7's kind of that weird wishy-washy middle ground, where this particular person was saying that if they ever rated something a 7, what they've realized is that those were things that they were doing out of obligation, out of guilt, out of, you know, oh, it would sure be nice to do something like this, but it wasn't something that they were necessarily really passionate about or really skilled at or that fit within the work that they were really focusing on at that time. It was just kind of something that they, eh, sure, why not, threw it on their schedule, and they always regretted saying yes. So by eliminating that 7 category, that was a way to kind of help filter out some of the things that they didn't want to do.
Well, that's interesting.
A good filter. I wonder sometimes, you know, talking about filters, because of the propensity of my heart toward pride and man pleasing and feeling like I've got to be at the center of everything, a policy that I try to live by, and I'm not always very good at it, is to let my default answer be no, unless I can justify it. And so, right, my heart wants to grab after opportunities, whether because I'm scared of disappointing somebody or here's self-promotion for Kyle. But if I say and convince myself in my mind, my default answer is going to be no, but now let me rationalize how this activity, how this opportunity is beneficial to myself, to my wife, my family, my church. And if I can come up with solid reasons then why I think it's beneficial to those spheres of responsibility that God has actually given to me, I'd be more inclined to say yes. But that's one of my filters, just default on no.
Yeah. Like, if it's not a yes, absolutely, then it's a no. You know, if it's kind of interesting, then you're probably better off saying no. And Kyle, I like that, kind of having the default be no, and then, you know, then really evaluating whether or not it's worth it. And I think one thing that a lot of people appreciate is if you say, you know, that's a really great proposition, let me think about it, and just taking some time before you jump into something so you can think, is this worth it? Does it fit in what I want to be focusing on? Let me talk to my wife and figure out if this is going to fit into our family schedule and whatnot. I'm always quick to say, yeah, sure, that sounds great, without really processing what the impact on my life and my family's life would be by saying yes.
Yeah. And of course, what we're talking about in this is more major decisions of significant uses of time, for instance, where it might involve travel or a larger investment. Of course, if our wives ask us to help dry the dishes, we're not going to say, well, no, that's my automatic default. And let me rationalize
that's,
why I should
that's
do that.
That's my automatic default when it comes to dishes.
Yeah, I bet.
I've trained my children to do that.
Yeah, I bet. Well, anything else to add, guys?
I think it's important, you know, a book that I would recommend listeners to read. Well, Barry, you already mentioned David Murray's book, Reset. Mm-hmm. He and his wife wrote the book Refresh, which the women in our church are going through right now and are absolutely loving. Kevin DeYoung has written a very good book called Crazy Busy. Which is a very short book, right? I think the subtitle is something like a short book for people who don't have much time or something like that. And I really appreciated one of the things that Kevin hounds on in that book, if I remember it totally correctly, is that busyness never actually equals productivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we as Christians are, in all that we do, we are to labor for the Lord. And busyness is not the way we do that. We do that through being good stewards. And that will sometimes mean saying no. And so you're not godlier because you say yes to every opportunity that jumps. And Kevin just really, I remember in that book, really emphasized that busyness is not next to godliness. And we, in our culture and in our society, we need to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah, so Kyle, that's an interesting point. How do we politely decline when people ask us to do something? Because I think a lot of times we do say yes out of obligation or out of not wanting to hurt someone's feelings or, you know, out of, you know, this is a really great thing and maybe I should be a part of it, but when I really reflect on it, I should say no. How do we politely, kindly, and graciously bow out of stuff?
I always just thank people for the opportunity. And I say I'm really flattered, because I am, that you would think of me for this, but right now I'm just not going to be able to do it. I was challenged by one of my deacons recently who said he thinks I'm too busy is a horrible excuse because it's not being honest. Honesty is it's not important enough to me, or I have other priorities that are pressing on me. And so I've actually stopped using the I'm too busy to do that and tried to be not quite as blunt as I'm not at all interested and you're not a priority. But to be just honest that this is not, I'm not going to do this right now. Rather than this, I'm just too busy. Cause I think my deacon's point was we are never actually too busy to do the things we want. We will always make time to do those things that are important to us. So that, yeah. I don't know if that answered your question or not. I just wanted to share that story.
So yeah. I mean, I guess how do you politely communicate that? Cause what you are essentially saying when you say no to a request from someone is the thing that you are asking me to do is not important enough for me to do right now. And it does not fit into the things that I want to do. And we have to be polite and kind and gracious in the way we say no, because we don't want to just be brazen like, sorry, the thing that you're asking me is not important enough for me to put it onto my schedule. Therefore, I'm saying no, because if it was important enough, I would put it on there. I mean, how do we kindly turn that down? Barry, you're a pretty easy to get
nice
along with guy.
Guy.
Any insight there? not saying Kyle isn't or
no,
anything,
Barry
but
is. You are correct.
But he was in town and wouldn't go get a tattoo with me a couple weeks ago too. So I don't know about that.
I was too busy.
I know exactly.
Well, it's just trying to be as gracious as you can be to say that there are other interests I'm pursuing at this time or other obligations that I have. I have told people before, and I'm thinking here, you know, I'm a preacher and a past, you know, speaking in places, and I've told them that the particular subject that they're wanting, I'm not very knowledgeable of. I've been asked to write an article and I just didn't feel like I could do a very good job at it. So a proper evaluation, I think, of ourselves at times can help with these things. I've also, one way to help in this is to then suggest to them, you know, if you're open to this, and again, I'm thinking here of a speaking engagement, I know so-and-so could do a good job at that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. I just did that last week. I was invited to speak at a youth camp and on social media. And I'm thinking that sounds like a great opportunity. This was literally right after I listened to that podcast I was mentioning. And I was thinking that would be great. But man, I really, if I say yes now, and this is 3 months out, I'm really going to kick myself the weekend before because I'm going to be stressing out because I'm going to have a million things on my plate. I think what I'll do is I will refer this person to somebody else who I know would do a great job. Mm-hmm. And I actually checked my calendar. I was busy that weekend anyhow, but by referring him to somebody else who could fulfill that for him, it was easier for me to just kind of take it off my plate and move on with my life.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I always recommend Barry. I tell people go call Barry York. Yeah.
And I send him back to you. So we're just doing the merry-go-round. Well, one of the things you brought up, crazy busy, and one of the things DeYoung says in there, maybe this is a good thought just to end on today, is that things are not the way that they ought to be because we are not the way we ought to be. And he talks about our pride, and I think, again, humbling ourselves before the Lord, before his throne, is one ultimate way of learning to say no, because ultimately what we're doing in saying no to these other things is saying yes to what he wants for our life. And that should be what we are seeking all the time, is to follow his will. Well, thank you guys for your input, and thank you all for listening to another episode of 3GT. We encourage you to come over to our website at 3GT.fm and leave a comment there, and we would love to hear from you on ways that you have for saying no. So we're signing off for this time. Thank you.